Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to ThunderTech World Headquarters for another edition of Thundercast. I am Tom Valentino, joined as always by Craig Israel.
Morning.
And we have a special guest today we'll get to in just a minute. A little bit of housekeeping here first. We've got our annual pumpkin carving contest here at ThunderTech going on this week. Yeah, it's that time of the year already. It's always a favorite for everyone who keeps up with the agency. And if you'd like to see this year's entries in the pumpkin carving contest, we're going to have a gallery posted on our Facebook page. So go check out facebook.com/ThunderTech Marketing. Craig, is your team coming up with a cool design yet for this year?
Yes, we've spent literally hundreds of hours testing different pumpkin. Now, we've really given it zero thought up to this point. We came up with a name for our team. It's Jason and the Pumpkin Knots. Mm. So it's Jason, Therian, our president's on our team. So
I think the fix is going to be in then. I'm already sensing trouble here for the rest of us, honest, hardworking competitors in this honorable contest.
Is that what this podcast is about, pumpkin carving? Are we going to talk about this for a while?
Nah, let's get to the business here at hand. So, no, what we actually want to talk about today is email marketing. And in ThunderTech land, there is no better person to talk about email marketing than our marketing communication specialist, Marissa Norris. Marissa, welcome.
Hello.
All right. So you've been here for a few years now and did a lot of different things in the communications department. Email marketing in specific is something you've really tended to focus in on more in the past year or so. Why?
Sure. Yeah. So as you mentioned, I sort of got to work on a bunch of different communications things, and I did a little bit of getting into client and ThunderTech emails from a content perspective. And then once I started really getting into the actual tracking of things, that's what drew me in and made me sort of fall in love with email. One, probably because I kind of like stalking people just a little bit in a fun way. That means the tracking of emails is a really interesting way to really see what's going on.
Craig's furrowing his brow already here. We're off to a good start.
Yeah, so I made it sound really creepy, but what I mean is email is really a really great tool because if you have the right email platform that provides good tracking data, you're able to really see what your audience is interacting with within your emails, when they're interacting with your emails, and really be able to gauge how your content is being most effective in email, and that's really what made me interested in it.
So hold the phone. So aren't we done with email? Aren't people bored with email and they're using other social tools to communicate now? Are people really still opening email and looking at them?
Yes, Craig, they are. So yeah, you think about email as like the 90s and like, oh, I'm going to open my Outlook mail on my big giant PC. But it's really been growing since then because people are used to email. They still use it. They're now using it even more on their phones. And they've been getting marketing messages from brands for so long, from opt-in, when that was like the new thing for brands to market via email, that they're more used to it, I would say, than getting brand messaging on social media. Because think about Facebook. It was first just for the college kids, and then it was for their friends and then their moms, and then the brands joined in and started pushing their messages out. So that's been evolved, and everyone's sort of cool with it now, but it was a little bit of a shock, like, oh, it's my friend Sarah and also Coca-Cola.
So hold the phone. You're talking about email like people like to receive emails. Haven't we all learned that we hate spam, we hate to receive marketing messages from everybody? Is that not the reality that we live in today?
It's really not. I mean, you still get the spam messages, but they have been taken care of by the spam filters, more or less. But what we're really talking about with email marketing these days are the opt-in emails. So when a consumer goes to a brand and says, hey, I really love your content or your products, and I want to receive more information about this from you, or I want to receive coupons and deals from you, it's the that that agreement that we're going to send you the content that you're asking for and nothing else, not spam, and that you're going to, in return, engage with our emails and click them and know that they're coming and be excited.
Okay, so I'll buy that. Did you say earlier that you can actually track what part of an email people are interacting with? Are we stalking people to that degree?
You can, using the right tools. Some of the platforms don't offer that kind of good tracking, but if you're using the right ones, you're able to track how much a specific link is clicked and really dive down very deeper if you wanted to a granular level. But mostly it's good just to see, like, you can test how much a image was clicked versus a text link that was going to that same link as the image. You can see which one gets more. And my vote's usually for the images, but it's a nice thing to be able to kind of to gauge with the tracking.
So is it fair to say then that having that level of analysis available is what's helped email survive and thrive at this point? I mean, it's a channel that's been around forever otherwise.
I would say that's probably one of the number one selling points as far as tracking. Also, low price point. I mean, it has been around forever. It's fairly cheap and easy to do. And it's also less intimidating, I think, for some brands, because maybe with the newer technologies, they're getting their feet wet, they're learning. But email is sort of that old friend that they can come back to.
So you said something earlier, too, about people checking email on their phone. And as you like to point out to me, you and I are of different generations. I am of an older generation than you. But I can say that it's become easier to check your email on your phone. And I find myself doing it much more often because I have this email portal in my pocket at all times. So it sounds like the trends you're seeing, the research you're seeing, supports that.
Yes, definitely. There's more mobile opening of emails, and so it's really important at this stage that we're not becoming complacent with our same templates that we used in 1999. It's more important since there's more usership on mobile, that our emails look good in mobile, that they work, and that they're of a mindset of someone who is on the go, so not 50 pages long of a scroll on a phone, but maybe shorter content and in more of soundbite kind of clips.
So expanding on that a little bit, how do you think marketers are having to change their approach to email? Are you designing your emails now thinking mobile first, or is it like a 50-50 between mobile and desktop?
I would say at this point where we are, it would be sort of a 50-50, because mobile first is super important. You want it to be hopefully one column, easy to scroll, as I said, but you really can't neglect desktop because it is still there. It's still being used. Sometimes I see the same email on my phone and then on the desktop, so it's not even like two different users, one mobile, one desktop. It's like the same guy. But desktop is super important to develop correctly for, because there are so many different email clients. So your Outlook, your Gmail, your Yahoo, those all render your email code differently. And so you have to develop for those and for the phones all together so that your email looks good to all of your audience and not just you or your CEO.
All right, so in the past 6 months or so that you've been doing a lot more with email marketing, things are really ramping up with some of the clients that we're working with. What's been the biggest surprise or the biggest thing that's caught your eye in that time frame about email marketing?
I would just say the vast variation of what brands are doing compared to others. That's something, I mean, we just talked about mobile, but that's, if you think about your inbox and you think about how some of those emails in there look like those really old websites, the ones that you can't see, you have to zoom in on your phone, and they just look sort of out of date. That compared to some of the more user-friendly, really easy to read, short and to the point, and prettily designed emails, I think that that's sort of surprising that there's such a difference, but people are still interacting with them the same way for the most part. I'm not going to like just delete an email all the time, but some users, there are stats saying that some users are. If a email isn't mobile friendly and mobile facing on their device, they'll delete it. So it's something that's going to need to shift in the next 6 months to a year. But I think that's kind of shocking that that's still like a big difference.
So Gmail, I know, because I use it personally, has a default folder set up for your personal email, your social media related emails, and promotional emails that are typically the kind of stuff that we would be dealing in with email marketing. As a user, I think it's great. It helps me stay organized. As a marketer, how do you feel about that?
As a marketer, I am a little not scared of it, but it is a little bit, makes us work a little bit harder because now it's even more of in the user's hands. Like our emails aren't even showing up on their normal feed on Gmail. They have to go to a special one and then compete just among the other our marketers there. So it's even more important that your message is clear, your subject lines are great, and that you're able to really stand out. I also think it's an interesting thing with Gmail now. It's, like I said, it's more in the user's hands, and the way that they now can go to their promotional bucket when they're in the mood to read ads and deals and marketing messages. Like if I know I want to find coupons from a specific brand, I can go to that folder as a consumer and know that I'm in control. I can find it if they emailed me.
So we've established that email's been around forever. People are now using it for marketing as they always have, but the audience is a little more receptive because of opt-in. With all that in mind, what's one thing that brands can do today to adjust to this new mobile-first market to make their messaging more efficient?
Definitely look at those analytics, because there are some brands who have them and don't even look at them. So it's about using those and really having a strategy in place to keep those in check. So you can look at your send times and see if people are engaging with them. And maybe with this mobile culture, maybe your audience is really only checking their email at 8 p.m. and you're still sending what you used to do at 8 a.m. So it's really good to be kind of flexible and on your feet and testing things out, and then using those analytics again to see how you're faring.
Makes sense.
Okay, final thoughts, Marissa? Email marketing, here to stay or just a fad?
Definitely not a fad, because it would be gone with the pogs if it was.
Pogs. Brilliant, brilliant call out to the fog. Okay, so that'll do it for ThunderTech for another session. As always, if you like what you hear, you can subscribe to Thundercast on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. Best thing you can do if you like this podcast is tell your friends and subscribe, because our boss looks at those numbers. If you have a specific question about the show or a topic you want us to cover, you can email us directly at thundercast@thundertech.com. As always, thanks for listening.